If you say yes, you can drop the story. Say, I just don't need it anymore. Thank you for being there. You know, I appreciate that. Now, I do a thing in my seminars called Story 101, where I teach people to tell a story 6 different ways. And what this does is it loosens up the trueness of the story, because the story really isn't true. It's just a version of it that you tell yourself or others to take care of you in the best way you know how. I really want you to think about this. Next time you catch yourself telling someone your long, drawn-out, sad story, realize you're doing it on purpose. You have that version of the story because it gets you sympathy, you get to feel important, you get to feel loved, and you remind yourself of the pain so that that might never happen to you again. Now listen, when other people tell you their sad, long version of the story, they're doing the same thing. So it is respectful to listen, although it can make you sick sometimes. All right? That's called the long version. It's generally the first version I have of a story. It's long, it's sad, it's all about me, and it's all about, you know, she done me wrong, or I was so abused, whatever. We've all got that one. The next version of the story that you would want to tell is the short version, where you kind of say the same thing, the same facts, but in about a tenth the time. Something about this long version, we like it so much that we want it to really ring as a drama, and we embellish it with a lot of details, okay? So tell the short version of the story. Now you're starting to understand that your story can move a little bit, can change a little bit. After you tell the short version of the story, you could tell the nobody wrong version of the story, where you tell the story and you keep the facts, but you don't apply any guilt to anyone. You know, she did this and she did that, and I did this and I did that, and he did this and he did that. And it's sort of factual, but it doesn't have any charge, and it doesn't have anybody being particularly wrong. And it doesn't have me being wrong either. That's important to note. A lot of people, when they stop blaming others, they start blaming themselves. And blame just doesn't need to happen. It also is the inverse of that. When people blame themselves for things, they can't handle that, so they try to get that blame outside of them by blaming others. And you'll know this is true if you ever attain a state of innocence, even if it is for 1 minute, a state where you have forgiven yourself, you will not be able to blame anyone for anything. Okay, so there's a little aside about blame. All right, so the nobody's wrong version of the story just has people doing the things they did without any judgment or without somebody being wrong and somebody being right. Then the fourth version is they are right. Oh boy, now this is a stretch. This is when the brain sort of hurts. The gray matter has been formed around the concept of my oppressor or my mother or father or whoever it is being wrong. I mean, I have had that story for so long that the gray matter in my brain is literally frozen around that story. They are wrong. So this is a big stretch. And when I do this in seminars, it's hard for the people. I have to really work with them and help them create a story whereby the other person is right. And it's challenging. So let's say somebody whacked you upside the head with a shovel. You're just walking down the street and you're completely innocent, and somebody appears from behind a bush and hits you in the face with a shovel. Now, that's an extreme example, but I'll show you how it would work. I would have to tell the story like this. Well, I was walking down the street and this poor man came out from behind a bush, and you know, life had tormented him so much that he hit me with a shovel right in the face, and it was the most amazing thing because, you know, it hurt, and I could see the dynamics of life, how this person had all this rage, and he hit me, and it was really, really interesting. It taught me a lot about being aware and, you know, sensing the world in front of me, and he actually, you know, taught me a lot about the state of the world and about my own awareness, and probably helped me pay off some karma for something I did when I was younger. I don't know, but it was really an amazingly good thing that, you know, he hit me in the face with the shovel because it really taught me a lot. Okay, now that's insane. It's a lot of fun to make this up. But when you do it, It has to be genuine. You have to really try to do it. You have to try to make them right. You have to sense their point of view, see, you know, what they're contributing to you, and you have to try to do it. Because what it does, this exercise, is it moves your gray matter. It moves your mind, and it's a stretch, and it's, you know, an indication that you are starting to get it, that it's up to you to make up the story according to what you want it to do. Remember, a story has a purpose. If I tell the story like that, I'm going to have a certain feeling, and the feeling is going to be sort of comical and interesting. If I tell it the first way, like poor, pitiful me, the victim, the story is going to have a different feeling, okay? So remember this, when you're telling your stories, when you're living your stories, when you're making up your stories of your life, each story has a point, and the point is a bunch of feelings that you get to have, all right? So that's the they are right version of the story. Now, the next version of the story is the happy ending version of the story. So this guy came out of the hedges and hit me with a shovel and I fell down and it hurt. But, you know, I got to see just how much people suffer. I got to feel what it's like to suffer. And, you know, I got to feel some compassion. And I'm here telling the story now. And, you know, I got to do a lot of psychological work on myself. And really, all in all, it was a good experience because it really helped me to understand what it's like for other people to suffer, people who get hit with shovels all the time. And it really enriched my life by showing me a dimension I hadn't experienced before. Now, again, that's an optimistic point of view. But, you know, extreme examples sometimes work. So I'm giving you an extreme example, okay? So play with your own stories and see if you can come up with a happy ending version. Anytime you harvest a story and you learn from it, that's a happy ending. You know, anytime a series of events happens that teach you something about life or something about yourself or show you your inner resourcefulness or teach you patience, anytime that happens, that is a happy ending. It's given you something. And if you tell the story like that, it'll change your life. It'll take your suffering away.